The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Moreno is a MAGA mistake for black families. If Moreno is elected senator, he'll push to eliminate diversity, equality, and inclusion programs as part of the racist MAGA Republican Project 2025. We've come too far to let extremists like Bernie Moreno take us back. MAGA Moreno is a mega mistake for Ohio. Register to vote by October 7th at ohiovoterguide.org and re-elect Senator Sherrod Brown. Paid for by Win Senate, which is responsible for the content of this ad. WinSenate.org, not authorized by any candidate or candidate's committee.
You are about to hear a 15-minute free preview of the latest bonus show to hit our Patreon-only podcast feed. Top Rope Nation Patreon members have access to multiple members-only podcasts every single month, including at least one new show each and every week. This includes new episodes of TRN Classics, TRN Unplugged, and TRN Extra. Plus, ad-free versions of our weekly flagship show, merchandise giveaways, virtual hangouts, and other benefits. So in order to support us and ensure Top Rope Nation continues well into the future, and to gain access to all of these great benefits and exclusive shows, join the Patreon page now. You can get full access for just $5 per month. Click that link in the broadcast description to learn more and enjoy this free preview of one of our latest Patreon bonus shows. Top Rope Nation Classics WWF SummerSlam 94, a show that is near and dear to my heart. Been looking forward to this one, Justin and Jesse. We're all here. We're talking about a show that I think rented more than any Coliseum video at Blockbuster Video, more than any others back then.
Really?
Oh, wow. Yeah.
Even more than WrestleMania 10?
That was in the running, too.
Okay.
Yeah. That was these two, which is weird. Wow. Do I love 1994 WWF? I guess I do. Justin, how are you doing tonight?
I'm pretty good. No complaints, sir. Excited to talk some wrestling with you two.
You got anything in the glass tonight or what are you sipping on?
I got a Sam Adams Hazy NA.
Ah, nice. Very nice. Jesse? You got anything in the glass tonight? What's going on?
I have a little bit of Hendrix inside this Gatorade Zero, not too much, because I do have to get up somewhat early, not as early as my Fridays recently. So I can't get too crazy. But after I just got some news literally 30 minutes ago, maybe I should have a double pour. But
Yeah, yes, indeed.
Depending on how this pod goes, I might have two NAs tonight, boys. We'll see. We'll see how wild I want to get.
Different promotion, but you're living dangerously, Justin.
Yeah. I got a special shout out I want to throw from my What's in the Glass here. So first of all, I am drinking one I've never drank on the podcast before. This is one you can only get in Wisconsin. It's from New Glarus. It's the Wisconsin Belgian Red.
It's very good.
Yeah, it's a cherry ale, red cherries. And I'm throwing the shout out to someone who lives up there in Wisconsin, our friend Sean Skelton, who Rick told us recently. Sean recently became a father, and so I'm having this. Yeah. If you guys are longtime listeners, you would know Sean is the guy who inspired us with the What's in the Glass gimmick when he told us last year in person at All Out Weekend in Chicago, that was one of his favorite things we do on the show. And so this is in honor of Sean. So congrats on becoming a father, man. Wisconsin beer, this is all for you. And Sean also, I mean, he is one of our earliest patrons. I just looked it up. He joined the Patreon in May 2019, and he has been a patron ever since. So
Sean rules. Congratulations, sir. He's going to have to start doing what's in the bottle.
That's right. That is definitely right.
1 year to the day that we met him.
Yeah.
Holy smokes.
Yeah, that's today. Yeah. That's right. That's
All Out 23 third. Was, yes, at the United Center.
Yes, indeed. Which we are going to be talking about. SummerSlam 94, the very first show ever at the United Center. More on that here in a little bit. I just talked about it. I used to rent this video constantly. I'll go into that more in depth here in a second. Jesse, let me throw it to you. When was the first time you saw SummerSlam 94?
I have a cousin on my mom's side that would get all the pay-per-views, and we did watch this at his apartment. So I remember this, and I remember seeing, sadly, SummerSlam 95 with him too. Yep.
Well, I mean, he had one pretty good match on that show.
On 95?
Yeah.
Ironically, yeah. Well, not just that, though. No, yesterday as I was touching some notes up on 94, as you know, Peacock will stream right into 95. 1-2-3 Kid versus Hakushi is a very good opener.
Mm, okay.
So I watched that, turned right off. Yeah, so I have vivid memories of Razor Diesel and the Takers. And I don't remember as much about Bret and Owen. However, that is the match that I've seen the most recently because I covered it with Frank two springs ago when we compared both the Bret Owens and both of the Razor Shawns, the WrestleMania 10 with the SummerSlam 95, and then, of course, WrestleMania 10 with 94 with Bret and Owen.
Okay. So you watched it live, though, that night.
I did.
Very nice. All right. What about you, Justin?
Well, as stated on the pod many a times, I went into my first quote unquote like wrestling dark age about at the end of 92, and I did not really return until the lead into WrestleMania 12, early 96. But having said that, and I was full, like, especially in 94, this period, I don't think I was even really keeping tabs on it. The extent of my wrestling knowledge would just be on the covers of magazines I would see at the store or the covers of the movie rentals at the video rental store. And we will get into it. I know it is divisive, if not easy to shit on, but I rented this one in 94. And the whole reason I rented it was not because I was a huge Bret Hart fan and I saw that he had the world title and was defending it in a steel cage. I rented it because I needed to see what was up with this two takers thing. I don't know when it would have been released in our local video store, but this is the only wrestling show I probably watched in the 3 years that I was absent from it.
Wow. Okay. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I would say the cover is certainly what attracted me to it right away. Cause same with you as a kid. I think the first time I saw this, I was probably in sixth or seventh grade. I mean, I was like 12. I didn't see it until sometime in 96. I think it might've been early 96. The first time I rented it, like you, around this time in 94, I was kind of in and out.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Make no mistake, Trump-backed Bernie Moreno is a MAGA mistake for black families in Ohio.
We're not going to replace racism in this country from decades ago with a new form of racism, which is what DEI is.
If Bernie Moreno is elected senator, he will support the MAGA playbook and implement the thinly disguised Racist Project 2025 agenda. That means ending diversity, equity, and inclusion programs that exist to correct the impacts of racism. MAGA extremists like Moreno believe programs that have helped our families are entitlement programs, but they have no problem giving their buddies a boost by passing more tax giveaways for rich folks like themselves. Black Americans like me have worked hard and persevered in fighting for a fair shot. We've come too far to let self-serving extremists like Bernie Moreno take us back. That's why we must re-elect Senator Sherrod Brown. He has fought for equal opportunity for Black families and will continue to do so. Go to OhioVoterGuide.org and register by October 7th. Paid for by WinSenate, which is responsible for the content of this ad. WinSenate.org, not authorized by any candidate or candidates committee.
And I guarantee you, it's going to be the most electric, the most fun that you've ever had in your entire life. Look at this crowd right here.
Live at Chicago's brand new United Center. As we said in the intro, this was the very first event ever at the United Center. They had just done the ribbon cutting ceremony. It was like 9 or 10 days earlier, but they had not held any events there. The first time I ever remember seeing anything in the United Center is when they retired Michael Jordan's jersey again, because he was retired the first time and going to baseball. I think that was in October of 90. Though. So yeah, this was the very first event ever at the United Center. And the estimate I saw in attendance was about 23,000. I could not get an exact number. It was full. I did read that they papered it somewhat, that apparently like the weekend of the show, the radio stations were advertising, you get free tickets around at sporting goods stores and stuff like that. But I mean, we've all been to the United Center. I've been there many times. It's a massive facility. There's a standing room only section at the very, very top in the middle. You can pack a lot of people in there, especially with the way that this was set up with just the small entrance, you know, like the little square that they came out of. You pretty much have it set up in the round and you've got people on the floor. So I have no doubt it was probably about 23,000, because I know they could put 23,000 in there for a Bulls game. And then you add in the fact that there's people on the floor. Mm-hmm. A little bit taken away from behind the entranceway. That makes sense. So probably, yeah, right around 23,000. But I mean, it looks fantastic on TV. It's a beautiful building, brand new, new home of the Chicago Bulls and Blackhawks. They talk about right from the start. The show did a 1.30 buy rate per WrestleNomics. I also saw 1.25 out there, but WrestleNomics thinks it was 1.30. That translates to 300,000 buys worldwide. And it was 235,000 buys here in the States. That means the show was up fairly decently from SummerSlam 93. The buy rate was the same, but more people had access to pay-per-view a year later. SummerSlam 93 with the Lex Express, that did 195 when it comes to domestic buys and 250 worldwide. So it was up a little bit from 93. SummerSlam 95 the following year was down. So yeah, this was a little bit higher. Business had picked up a little bit. WrestleMania 10 earlier in the year did 420,000 worldwide buys, 283 domestically. So yeah, I mean, I think at the box office, you know, other than the free tickets, it did decently well given where business was at in 94. Of course, like live attendance overall was down in 94. Ratings were down, but when you look at the pay-per-view universe, I thought for 1994 WWF, it was a fairly strong number. And I think some of that, of course, is Bret and Owen, one of their best storylines they had done in a long time. But I think also there's some intrigue in this Undertaker situation. I don't think you can overlook that. I know people make fun of the storyline, but look, I mean, I was a kid. I was interested in it. Justin, you said you were interested in it at the time. Jesse, do you remember having any intrigue in the Taker versus Taker match?
That's actually one, like I said, I remember the match itself, but I didn't remember the angles much because I was kind of in and out on TV. This was actually, ironically, the first WrestleMania I had missed in my lifetime was WrestleMania 10. My dad ordered the original WrestleMania all the way through. Oh no, we also missed 8 as well. So no, I don't remember too much about the story. And one thing I will say as well is if you're looking at pay-per-view competition, Bash at the Beach the month prior with WCW and Hulk Hogan's debut was 225,000 buys as well. So there was some pretty decent competition coming from the other side in spite of the fact they didn't have any cable television on Monday nights yet. They had the Saturday Night Show still.
Nice. Yeah, great callback there. Yeah, I mean, it's pretty much business fallen after this. If you go forward to like SummerSlam 96, you know, they're down to 157,000 buys domestically, whereas this one, like I said, was at 235. So, I mean, yeah, it was one of WrestleMania 11 was a little bit higher, but I mean, that's WrestleMania. everything else on the page I'm looking at, I mean, it's higher than everything other than Mania 10 and Mania 11 for the most part, you know, around that period. So, yeah, I mean, a decent number to be sure. The show starts off with that classic SummerSlam song playing, and this was the last year they used that song. I can't remember if that came in 89 or 90. I'll have a clip here at the beginning. Probably already put it in right after the time machine thing. That's where I usually put it. But I love that SummerSlam, the classic song. I should have kept it. But yeah, that plays briefly. I thought, you know, SummerSlam 91 with the Vince voiceover with that song is so well done. This one is just brief. You see the SummerSlam logo come on, it plays, and that's about it. And they go right into the arena. And we've got Vince McMahon and Jerry Lawler on commentary. But first, Macho Man Randy Savage makes his entrance. And he's coming down the ramp, and he's got the mic in his hand. And welcome, everyone, to the brand new United Center, he says, the Windy City, which is Randy's hometown, by the way. If you didn't know, he was from Chicago. And he shakes hands with the British Bulldog there in the aisle, who we'll hear plenty about later. And then he goes down to Vince and Lawler, and he says, I got to go do the thing in the ring. And then he throws it to Vince, and Vince goes, yes, the thing in the thing. And I always laughed at that line. Vince getting tongue-tied. And then Lawler immediately talks about how the big news is that last night at a house show in a Market Square Arena in Indianapolis, the Head Shrinkers lost the tag team titles to Shawn Michaels and Diesel. So, guys, that sure as hell took away some steam from our opening match, did it not?
I would say so, although I honestly don't know how much steam the world titles would have really added to it anyways.
Yeah, true.
Common theme for house show was really, really weird in 94. There were quite a few house show title changes. I'm going to go back to Randy Savage quick because this ties us into current day professional wrestling. When he was going through his little monologue about, he did mention, fasten your seatbelts, it's going to be a bumpy ride. Apparently, that is from a 1950s movie reference, All About Eve.
There you go. Great callback. Nice research. Yeah, I mean, Randy was in the kind of the last days of his run with the WWF. You know, he would be in WCW just a few months after this. He was wrestling sporadically. He wrestled after this. In fact, he tagged with Brett a little bit in September against Neidhart and Owen. And in May, he had what's kind of like a legendary underground match with Bret Hart over in Japan. There is a fan cam of it you can watch on YouTube. The quality is not very good. But yeah, Bret and Savage had wrestled in Japan. And apparently, I think Bret had like handpicked him for that match or something. And they would have liked to have done a feud. Unfortunately, never happened.